It's truly amazing to see what Israel has been able to produce in such a short span of time. In the year 2008, it's only been 60 years. But yet Israel, the 100th smallest country, with ourselves who represent less than 1/1,000th of the world population. Nonetheless, we can say that the technology that many people are involved in is directly related to this small country. From cell phones and Motorola, Windows XP, Israel is also known to have the highest percentage of home computers per capita, the highest percentage of university degrees, more museums per capita, and focusing on the Jewish nation in general. Such a small amount of people, yet able to produce 178 Nobel Peace Prizes. And as in the year 2008 is the debate whether or not a woman could possibly be the President of the United States, is America ready for a woman to lead the country? On this, way above the curve, is Israel, which almost 40 years ago in 1969, Golda Meir was the one, a woman, who ran the country. It's clear, at least based on this information and these statistics, that we must be something special. We must be great. In fact, that's only part of it. The rest is found in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Bahar opens, Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. Typically, throughout the Torah, we just find the sentence, Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, why does the Parsha begin with the words Bahar Sinai? And on this, Rashi asks the famous question of Ma'inyan Shmita Etzel Har Sinai. V'alo kol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai. Apparently, the reason why is there is a direct connection to what is going to be discussed and studied in the beginning of this week's Parsha and Parshas Bahar, namely the Shmita, the sabbatical year, a year in which a person leaves all their land and remains fallow, that it is hefker, it is ownerless for the aniyim, for the poor people in that particular city, in that country. There is obviously a connection between that and Har Sinai and Torah in general. What is this message of the sabbatical year, the Shemitah? That it is really the fundamental concept of the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. To understand this question that Rashi cited, we must first understand a little bit better what is the idea of Shemitah. What is its significance? What exactly does it mean? And on this, the Torah tells us that for Shesh Shanim Tizra Sadecha v'Shesh Shanim Tizmar Karmecha, that for 6 years we can work the land, we can sow the field and prune the vineyards, Piosavto Estibosa, and that we can gather its crop. However, Uvashana Hashvius, on the 7th year, Shabbos Shabboson Yel Oretz Shabbos LaHashem. And in this year, in the year 2008, we are currently experiencing in Israel the Shemitah year, a year as the Torah considers as a Shabbos LaHashem, a year in which the land must rest, that it cannot be worked. One is not allowed to claim the crops, the produce that grows on the field. Rather, it is hefker. It is completely ownerless, which in reality is a very difficult concept. Now imagine that you were the owner of a large field, acre upon acre of land. And all of a sudden, 1 year, people can walk in on your private property and to take whatever they want. Most people would look at that and say, that's breaking entry, stealing things which are mine. What right does the Torah have to say that the things which I worked for, the land which I bought with my hard-earned money, that for an entire year I'm not allowed to use it, and that all of my things are ownerless, they're hefker, that anyone can come and can take it? It's even more difficult is after seven cycles of seven. The Torah tells us on the 50th year is the Jubilee or the Yovel, in which we hear a great blast, the sound of the shofar. And on this, the Torah tells us, "Ukarasim Duror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveha," as is found in Philadelphia, on the Liberty Bell, "You shall proclaim liberty and freedom throughout the land for all of its inhabitants." And in the Yovel year, all Jewish slaves must be freed. Plots of land that were sold revert back to their original owners. Again, one must wonder, what's going on over here? It's mine! It's my land! That guy over there, that's my slave! He works for me! I bought him! I own him! I control him! What right does the Shemitah have, does the Yovel have, to take away the things that are mine? The things that I am in control of. And on this, we have the expression that unfortunately many people feel kochiv yatzim yadi. They feel that the hard toil and the work that they are involved in, it's all me. What brought the success and my bumper crops? It was my hard work. And the land, it's mine. Kochiv yatzim yadi. And on this, the Torah says no. That the Shemitah is to teach us that it's not yours. It's a gift from Hashem. V'ha'aretz lo simachel esmisus. Kili ha'aretz. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity. It's not yours forever, because the land is not yours. Kili ha'aretz. The land belongs to God. But this is the challenge that we have throughout our lives. Whether we own property in Israel, whether we're farmers, we still want that sense to feel that we are in control. And constantly we try to be in control over our material wealth, our physical possessions. We may wish to control our employees, our spouses, and our children. But in reality, we know, if we honestly think about it, we are not in control. In fact, there are very few things in this world that we have any control over. And certainly, very little control. But to say that I'm in complete control is really quite delusional. All one needs to do is look at their own health. We can try to be healthy and to mitzvah. Shmartim onas nashoseichem. But at a certain point, we are not in control. If we look around in the world, the ground that we walk on is something in which we also cannot take for granted. The very earth. Just last week in China, an earthquake which claimed over 50,000 lives and many, many others who are homeless. All we need to do is remind ourselves in the year 2004, just a few years ago, the Indian Ocean tsunami. A tsunami which estimated killed over 225,000 people. Think about it. We want to believe that we are in complete control. But in reality, we are in control of very little. And this is the message of our Parsha. This is the purpose of the Shemitah. The sabbatical year, after working for 6 years, and possibly getting the feeling that it's me, that's Kochiv Yatzim Yadi, the Torah tells us, stop. I want you to realize that it's not coming from you, but rather, God is in control. God is in charge. And when a person has that seventh year to really wake it up, it will also give that person the perspective for other years as well. For all 6 years that they work too, when they have success and things are going well, they will not attribute it to their own energies and their own excursion, but rather to the gifts that God gave them, because we truly are not in complete control. And I believe this is the difficulty, the tension, the struggle, because in Israel, just looking around this country today, a wasteland. And Israel itself, not too long ago, did not look much different than the numerous countries that surround it today. But yet Israel, that was once a wasteland, has transformed itself into gardens. We have seen so much success, but we have to remember to whom we should attribute that success to. Not me, but rather to God. Hashem is in control. Perhaps this is the reason that in our parsha, we have the mitzvah of preventing poverty. If your brother becomes impoverished, he's impoverished, poor, you shall strengthen him so that he will be able to live imach with you. And on this, Rashi says something quite peculiar. What does it mean that you should, the chazak tabo, that you shall strengthen him? Al tanichuhu shiyared v'yipol. Do not wait until he falls to the ground, until he hits rock bottom. V'yekashil hakimo, because it'll be so hard to pick him up at that point. Ilchaskehu meshas motas hayad. Help him out the moment that he begins to slip. It'll be so much easier to assist such a person. Isn't that obvious? Why would we want to wait until he falls and hits rock bottom? And when we'll have to support him and give him everything, when all we need to do is give a small amount, and he'll be able to function, and to be able to remain independent. What's more difficult in this Rashi is that he's compelled to cite a mashal, a parable. Lama zedoma, to what is this comparable to? L'masui shal hachamor. If you have a heavy burden on top of an animal, on a donkey. Odu al chamor. While it's still on the back of this beast of burden, echotofis bo mamido. If you see that it's slipping, all you need is one person to just ever so gently guide it back so that it remains balanced on the donkey. Nuffel aretz, but once this heavy bast falls onto the ground, chamisha ein mamidin oso, even five people will have difficulty lifting it up. Why is it necessary to tell us this mashal, this parable? And the answer, I believe, is the human nature is to want to help at a time and when a person is at their lowest state. At a time when there's utter destruction, when a terrible tragedy occurs, we find everyone wants to chip in. Everyone wants to participate because it feels good. Not only does it feel good, but it's obvious that that person who ultimately will be picked up was only because I did it. Because he was so down and out. He was so destitute. Everyone will look at me and say, "Ah, you're such a tzaddik that you helped such an unfortunate family. A person in such dire straits, such need." The much greater way is to help them when a small thing is not going the right way. Just to give them a few dollars, a little bit of a boost. But no one will ever know that you did it. Because it will be so slight and so small and insignificant that no one will say, ah, tzaddikal for helping this person. But the ultimate element of tzedakah is the realization that the fact that you have cash in your pocket, do not say it's because I put in all the effort, that kochi v'yatzim yadi, it's mine. But rather the realization that it's a gift from God, and that it's not really mine, that I must do something positive to assist and help another person. It's not about me. It's about the other person. And if we're sensitive about thinking beyond ourselves, we're not going to want to wait until that person hits rock bottom. Because it's not about me feeling good. It's about me making sure that person will be able to function and to survive and to live a dignified life in society. It's very fascinating. Chazal brought down immediately afterwards. The pasuk tells us, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hoseisi etzchem eretz Mitzrayim," that I am the God that took you out of Egypt. Why? Laseisuchem es eretz Canaan. I wanted to give you the land of Israel, liyosuchem leelokim, and by giving you Israel, the land of Canaan, I will be to you as a God. And on this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Ksuvos says, the Gemara in Ksuvos tells us, shekol hadar be'aretz Yisrael, ani lo leelokim. Why does it say, go to Israel, and then, liyosuchem leelokim, I will be a God to you? It means, says the Gemara in Ksuvos, anyone who lives in Israel, they will have a connection and a realization that there is a God. Kol hayotzi mimenu. This next sentence, which is awfully not quoted in the United States or in the diaspora in Chutz La'aretz. Anyone who goes out from Israel and lives outside, who lives with us in New York, k'ovad avodah zara. The Gemara tells us we are like idol worshippers. How could we say such a statement? So I don't live in Israel. I'm an oibid of avodah zara. But if we understand now what the message of Shemitah is, the Shemitah teaches us that it's not all me. All the things that I have, the work and successes that I am able to produce, it's not because of me, because of God. The Shemitah experience, which is only found in Israel, is an opportunity for one to realize that there is a God that is in control, and that I am not the one who is in control. And therefore, the pasuk tells us, deliberately, specifically in our parsha and Parshas Behar, that the idea of living in Canaan will give you an opportunity to acknowledge that there is a God that is in control, that is running this world. But if we live in Chutz La'aretz, we lose that opportunity. The opportunity to realize that it's God that is really pulling the strings. It's God that's really in control. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, it's as though we can possibly be k'ovad avodah zarah. What do you mean? I never worshipped a rock, or a stone, a piece of wood. What does it mean I'm an idol worshipper? It's talking about the potential possibility of avodah, of doing work, which is zara, which is estranged from the service of God. Because when I work every single year, and I don't take the time to acknowledge that there's a God, I possibly will start thinking that I'm God. I'll be serving myself. The ultimate level of avodah zarah. And on the dollar bill, in which says, in God we trust, how many are thinking that there is a God? I made that dollar bill with my hard work. I am God. That is the ultimate level of avodah zarah. And that opportunity of being able to stop on year number 7 and to realize that I'm not God. I'm not in control. It's not kochi v'yatzim yadi, but rather Hashem is in control of every aspect of my life, every aspect of this world, then all of a sudden, I'll realize, not just year 7, but all the years that I am working, that I'm really not in control. But it's not a lost cause. We live in Chutz La'aretz, and I'm not moving to Israel tomorrow. But there are still two things that we can do. First of all, to support our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, who are currently fulfilling and adhering to this tremendous mitzvah, and they're not working for an entire year. But there's a second thing that we can do. Shemitah is considered to be Shabbos LaShem. And on this, Rashi says, what does it mean, Shabbos LaShem? Kishem Shenemar B'Shabbos Bereishis. You see, we also have the opportunity to understand and to experience what Shemitah is all about. But we do not do it by taking a year off. But just like Shemitah is after six years, we have our own Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis. Every single week, we can observe Shabbos. And it's not just observing Shabbos by eating a meal, Shana B'Shabbos Tainug, and taking a nap, but understanding that God is in complete control. And once we are able to have that Shemitah experience every single week, every single Shabbos, it will completely transform and change our entire perspective in the way that we look at the other 6 days of our work week. Now certainly, we must do our hishtadlus. We must do our part. But we must at the same realize that it isn't everything. That's why it's called doing our part, because the rest is in God's hands. In conclusion, I'd like to share with you one more invention in Israel. In the 1940s and early 50s, a man in Israel developed the famous gun called the Uzi. It was named after this young military man by the name of Uziel Gal. And of course, Uzi is the beginning of his first name. But Uzi also means my strength. As though he's saying that it's this weapon that I will be able to defend, I will be able to protect, and I will be able to serve my country. It's Uzi. It's my strength. And on this, the Haftorah tells us that it is not my strength, rather Hashem Uzi. It is our God who is our strength.